Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We got a great guest that's hanging out with us in studios. You know, I love when we can have these conversations and then just take them a little bit longer than we thought. Brooks Talkington joining us in studio. I guess former UNC Bear football player.
That's what it's looking like.
We're saying it now, man.
Dinosaur, man.
Crazy to say
that.
How do you feel about that? Former UNC Bears football player.
Truthfully,
you've been there forever. You grew up there.
Yeah, I mean, I've been here for 6 years. The person, if you would have met me 2017, you wouldn't have recognized me now. It's a completely different person you see in front of you than you would have back then.
In a good way, I'm assuming.
In a good way. I've grown a lot. I mean, I used to, there was a lot of, I guess everything was black and white when I got here. And then I got here and I started seeing a lot more of both sides and started understanding things, just everything, you know. But yeah, and I grew a beard, so there's a little difference.
It's coming in nice, man. It looks good.
I appreciate
That's my goal someday. When I grow up, I want to get there.
Just send it, man. It's going to go through an awkward phase. You just got to power through.
Got to power. And then I give up. I get through that awkward, itchy phase, and I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, no,
man.
You can't do it, man. You got to keep it going.
So what was the transition like, you know, between Ernest Collins Jr. and Ed McCaffrey?
Sure.
It was a weird, obviously 2020, so it was weird. You know, he was hired, and a couple months later, everything started happening.
Yeah.
One of the players that we talked about had mentioned that there were supposed to be these one-on-one conversations with every single player.
Sure.
And this player had mentioned that that didn't happen. Did that not, you didn't have those?
No, it didn't happen.
Is that weird? Is it like...
Yeah.
Did Ernest meet with everybody all the time?
He did.
Like one-on-one?
He did. I mean, I think Coach Ernest had his favorites, too, and I think I was one of them because I love Coach Ernest.
So he met with you.
Yeah, he met with me a lot. But no, I mean, Coach Ernest did meet with everybody. Coach McCaffrey didn't really meet with everybody. He kept a lot of relationships more professional and didn't get as personal with people. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, I guess. But no, those meetings didn't really happen.
You being a football family and knowing different coaches at different levels and colleges.
Yeah.
And I always just assumed that a head coach would sit down individually. But, you know, we heard the same thing with CSU with Steve Adazio, that he didn't meet with everybody individually, too. And that guy had been coaching at Boston College for like 6 years before he came to Colorado State. So I guess in Ed McCaffrey's defense, it does seem like some coaches, they don't do that kind of thing.
Yeah, they try to take that approach. And, you know, he did. He had an open-door policy. But the ultimate thing is, I mean, if I'm being honest with you, my favorite coach I've ever had has been in high school. His name was Coach Randy Mays, and he, to this day, is one of my best friends in the world. And Coach Mays, I would run through a brick wall head first.
Why? What did he do?
Because we were close. Not only was he my junior year American history teacher, we had periods of like little recreational periods, both during lunch and one period between a little bit before that. And his office was always open. We sit down and just talk. Like, he was my best friend junior year. I just got to a new school, and I had no friends. And I was hanging out with Coach Mays all the time. So it's a lot easier to play harder for a coach that you know so personally, know so well, care so much about you, you know? And I'm not saying Coach McCaffrey didn't care about us at all. I'm not saying that.
But sometimes
I'm just saying it's easier to do so for someone who's made it completely evident.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that's where you're going to run into a lot of the issues. But you know, when you have a really close relationship with somebody, it mends a world of shortcomings.
Yeah, you can make up for a lot of things.
100%.
You know, I mean, we're looking at the Broncos situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's talking about how bad this Hackett situation is, but you keep hearing that the players love the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to be enough to get him past this offseason, but if he turns out to not get fired, that's going to be the reason why is the relationships that he built. So it never hurts to go above and beyond and try to build better relationships with your staff, with your players, whatever.
It doesn't at all. And the trick of it, I believe, is maintaining a level of, hey, look, we are close. I would do anything for you. I treat you as my son. Because that's how Coach Mays used to treat me and many coaches I've had. But also understanding, hey, we're not equals, you know. I'm still the authority here. I still want the respect of being your authority.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fine line you got to tread. You know, it's very difficult to do so. It's like walking a tightrope, you know, because you want to be really close and personal with the players. But at the end of the day, you have to make sure that they understand, hey, it's my job for your development, and I'm the authority. And if I have to discipline you, it can't be like, you know, I'm not going to hear from my best friend, you know, disciplinary action. I can take criticism from my best friend, obviously, but I'm not looking to my best friend as my authority. I'm looking at him as my equal. And that's where it's different. Like, Coach Mays and I are best friends now, but I still call him coach. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I still view him as above me.
Were you surprised that UNC moved on from Ed?
Not particularly.
Did you think there was going to be another year?
I didn't personally. I thought there was a chance of it because he didn't get a 2020 season. I thought there was a chance of it that they would it would go on one more year to just so he'd really get that chance to prove himself. But I wasn't unbelievably surprised just because you have two seasons in a row where you're 3-8 or whatever we were 3-9, 3-8, and I mean, just like we said, college football is now a business, and so it's productivity, productivity, productivity. And if you don't have that, I mean, it's just not gonna fly.
Well, while we have you in studio, Brooks, again, Brooks Talkington joining us, former UNC Bear defensive lineman. Originally, you and I started talking again this last week or so about Scott Darnell and about what that looks like for him. And I'd been hearing, you know, the rumors and everything. But at the end of the day, you know, a guy like that, you really think could be really good at this level as head coach.
I just got done writing a paper on it. We were in one of my MBA classes is managing organizational change, and at the end is your recommendation of this 15-page paper. And that was a long paper. I didn't like writing it. But my recommendation would be to UNC to promote Scott Darnell to the head coach for, I mean, he's more than qualified for the position. He's coached 26 years in Colorado, you know, both high school and college.
Mm-hmm.
He's had he led the most improved defense last year.
Yeah.
Fifth in the Big Sky. And that's just all, on all levels, but he led the most improved defense last year. He's a guy that calls me to this day. Like, probably every other day we have a conversation. And I can't speak enough about his character, how great he is. And I think if he had been kept on, you're going to lose a lot less players to the portal.
Yeah.
Which is a beast right now.
It's just absolutely nuts, man.
Yeah,
it's absolute chaos right
now. Yeah, Dion opened Pandora's box.
Oh, it did. He's changing.
He's,
I mean,
100%.
College football's already changing. Then he comes in and it changes again, maybe overnight.
Also, I hope you get a chance to have him on this show.
That's the plan.
That'd be really cool.
That's the plan.
I think you should have some of this, and I think you should have some of that.
Well, we got to get him to come up here.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, a couple texts. Aaron says, Brooks is the Texas tornado. Noob says, is Brooks training for his pro day? Are your football days done?
Brooks is not training for his pro day. Brooks, unfortunately, is moving on from football. And I wrote... I'm a guy who likes to write. Since I was a kid, I've enjoyed writing poetry. I've enjoyed like just expressing feelings on paper. I don't know what that makes me. Strange, probably, but
yeah, I think it's great.
Shortly after I injured my ankle, which I'm sure you're familiar with, I had a pretty bad high ankle sprain, tore my deltoid. I played on a torn deltoid the rest of the year, and the first game I came back, we lost, and I was in the training room, and it hurt. It hurt bad, and would go on later to find out my tibia was out of place. But I wrote this little letter to football, basically just expressing all my feelings, and it's a heart-aching goodbye. I've been a part of it for 18 years, and it was my first true love, you know. So since I've been playing it since first grade, it's been, you know, it's been wonderful to me, and it has led me and changed my life in so many ways. And I couldn't be more thankful to it, but you know when it's time. And so as much as I'd like to train for my pro day, as much as I'd like to, you know, strap them back on, I think it's time. So I can't wait to introduce my son to her one day. But for now, my time with football is unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, my man. You know what? It's been an honor to get to know you, especially over this last year or so, and just follow you along. And again, I know it's not the season that you wanted, but you are coming out of this thing. You're going to be better for all of it. And it sounds like you're already on your way, man. Congratulations on Saturday, by the way.
And I would like to say, I mean, I know we say it all the time, but you are truly my friend, and I do appreciate your time and investment in me, and been an absolute pleasure. And so just want to say thank you as well.
Oh, let's try to. You're leaving soon, so let's try to catch up. We'll grab that lunch or something.
Yeah, come on.
Got a few days left here, so
I'm here for it, man.
We want to stay in touch with you too, my friend.
Please,
let's
absolutely,
do it.
It'd be a pleasure.
Brooks Talkington, everybody. That was fantastic stuff from him. And, you know, it's tough. These aren't easy conversations to have, but we appreciate you popping on. You had a tough conversation with us to start the season, too.
Yeah.
So we just appreciate your time, my man.
It's been a pleasure. Like I said, thank you all so much. My time here at UNC has been so much fun. Couldn't be more thankful, and I can't wait to see what they do.
All right, we'll see. We'll see what happens throughout the rest of the week. 16 minutes after 12 o'clock, Mike Brohard will join us next here on the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Let's take a quick break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your NoCo home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Twenty-one minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. Mike, my man, how are you this afternoon?
Peachy, how about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. It's been a crazy week already. We're getting some news out of UNC. News yesterday, of course, with the press conference with Deion Sanders. I mean, It's a great day to be doing sports talk in the state of Colorado. There's always something to talk about now. Not always positive, but for the most part, still something to talk about.
Well, what's not positive to talk about?
Right now,
the Broncos. Like to find the negative.
The Broncos?
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's a bad one. The Nuggets have kind of been in a weird spot. That's kind of tough. Nathan McKinnon. So Mike, there's always something negative. You just got to look for it, man. The negative this holiday season.
You do that better than anybody.
I try to find the positives once in a while. You're positive. I bring you on. I'm always looking for you to come on and talk some positivity with me.
I'm your balance.
You are my balance. Okay, Mike, an interesting game coming up, not just because it's CSU-CU, but do you think primetime's going to be there on hand Thursday night, 7 o'clock, December 8th?
I doubt it, just because I know they're excited to announce him in like a public kind of forum. But right now, I think with it being the height of recruiting season, with signing day being the 21st, that's got to be his first priority. Is, you know, he's still kind of double dipping right now.
Yeah.
He's got to take care of basically two football programs. So I doubt it. I would think it's going to happen at some point in time. Probably at a Pac-12 game that they host, a conference game. That would be my guess.
What's your take on all this, Mike? From your perspective, looking at what just happened, you know, Deion Sanders, I think, set everything up, you know, turned everything upside down. Heck, we left the Broncos game at 1:30 to go watch this dude's press conference. That's what's going on in this state right now. Bad for the Broncos, great for the Buffs. But from your standpoint, Colorado State, there's a lot of optimism surrounding Jay Norvell and what they're doing. But then when you take a look at a move like this, what is it doing to you? What's your thought process through all this?
Doing to me personally?
Yeah.
Or what it's doing for CSU?
What it's doing for the state, but also what it's doing for CSU. Both.
We'll start with CSU. It affects this university not at all. We're going to play them once a year. It's not like you have middle-of-the-road fans in the state of Colorado that are like, I'll go one way or the other. They're either CU fans or they're CSU fans. So it's not like Deion being hired, we're going to lose 10% of our fan base. This is just not going to happen.
No.
So it's not going to affect us. I think they'll recruit. I'm sure they'll go head-to-head on a couple of players in Colorado, and we'll see how that does. But outside of that, it doesn't affect anything for that. Now, I've found a lot of things interesting about this. The fact that Rick George came out and just admitted they do not have the money to hire him right now, but they'll get it. Which I thought was a wow kind of admission on his part. I think it's been impressive, the people he's gone after on his coaching staff. So in terms of creating some excitement for college football in the state of Colorado, I think it's good overall. I've seen some, you know, backlash on, you know, like his initial, you know, statement to the players, you know, like basically all jumped into the portal. That was just public. I mean, that happens everywhere. The fact that some of the recruits that they'd already had committed aren't going to be honored and they're finding other places. That happens everywhere. That happened here when Jay Norvell was hired, because guys that Adazio had recruited did not fit the mold of what Norvell and his staff wanted. So to me, it's one of those things. When I was a reporter, I hated recruiting. I know how important it is to the lifeblood of a program, but the overhype of it early on from June until signing day, the first one, now in December, and then on into February, you get guys, I think, that are, and some of them are trying to get attention. Hey, I've made my commitment. This is here. It's look at me. I've got this out the window. If I'm a high school player now, especially with the transfer portal, especially knowing that coaches are going to get hired and fired at the end of December, you might have your top three. You might even have in your mind where you're going to go, and you can tell the staff that. But I don't know that I would want to announce it publicly anymore until all these things happen because, yeah, you've got some guys who are really excited about going to play at CU, but they might not be players that fit into, you know, Deion's system. And I can't blame him for that. I mean, it used to be the polite thing to do for coaches, and Mike Bobo did it when he got hired here, is to just honor the commitments that were already made. And I know in talking to Mike Bobo, some of those commitments he hired, they did not fit, and within a couple of years they were leaving anyway. So that just kind of puts you behind the eight ball. These coaches are here to win. They're getting paid to win. Their livelihood depends on whether or not they win, so you want your players. So it's just become more public. Now, if these six, eight kids from CU that committed early hadn't committed early, just kept it in their back pocket, nobody knows. And it's probably better for them. So that, at least that's my take on it.
Yeah, no, and I think that I wonder if that's something that might change, you know, because I'm with you. I mean, you certainly went into this a heck of a lot more than I did, but, you know, you'd see guys that come, you know, letter of intent or committed or whatever, and that doesn't always, that's not always the end all be all. I was reading something the other day about one of the stud athletes in Colorado had committed to Oregon, but if he said if Deion Sanders comes to CU, he would think about. So it's just a weird dynamic, and then now we're all right here. You know, Deion Sanders is going to have, he's going to have the cameras right in front of every move he makes. I mean, we're going to be following this along closer than maybe ever before. It's something, Mike, that sure seems like it's going to turn college football upside down, for better or for worse.
He's just a different personality. He could very well be the biggest personality in college coaching right now. And now he's at a Power Five school. He was drawing a lot of attention to the SWAC just from him being there and what he was doing. Now, he's got to be able to prove that he's going to be able to coach in the Pac-12 as opposed to just the SWAC. And getting some of those great players, how big of a dent is that going to make in building a program in the Pac-12? I would caution CU fans, he can go ahead and get an impressive recruiting class right now, but they're going to be freshmen, and some of them are going to be transfers. And putting that all together, you're 1-11. You're a program coming off a 1-11 year. The schedule's pretty tight. I don't know if they're expecting 10 wins next year. I think their hopes are too grand. I think people at CSU got kind of swayed into that too. Very excited about the different offensive style and what Jay Norvell was bringing. And they found out close up and first, it's gonna take some time for those changes to actually melt and for them to get the roster that they want. And that very well could happen in Boulder. I'm not saying that it won't be successful, but I don't know that you're looking at a 10-win season, like right off the bat. If he does it, wow, you know, more credit to him.
Yeah, and that's what's insane to me because, you know, I'm looking up north with you guys, Mike, and I see Jay Norvell, and, you know, it wasn't the season a lot of people at the beginning thought necessarily, but as the season progressed, we all said, and I've been saying this too, talking about positive, that, hey, I think this is going to get going eventually for Colorado State. Deion enters Boulder, and it's like we expect things to change tomorrow. Like, we expect to beat TCU and, you know, be in the conversation of playoffs. And that's interesting. And that's just where we are now. The transfer portal has been crazy, but now more than ever, I mean, I'm looking at all these numbers and names of guys in the transfer portal. It just changes the entire landscape of expectations and everything going forward.
I did. But you got to remember, you got to get the right kids too. And I think I saw a number today where I think 13% of college football players are in the portal right now, which just seems absurd to me.
Wow.
And it's only 2 days in, and it's probably not done. But, you know, the new transfer rules, if you bring a kid in, you know, you're committed to him. So, you know, if CU signs somebody and they decide Coach Prime isn't for me and football isn't for me and I just want to get my engineering degree here, that still counts as a scholarship against him, even though the guy's not on your roster for as long as he's on campus. So there's some new rules in the transfer portal that, at least with transfers, you're going to have to be a little bit more careful. But the cool thing for CU about this hire is there is excitement around that program all of a sudden that hasn't been there for a long time. And I think that's really what they were trying to accomplish down there. Their think tank was like, we've got to create some excitement around this program, and this was a huge splash.
Mike Brohar joining us from CSURams.com. And Mike, again, don't you look at this, and I've said this to Rams fans, like, I get it, you hate CU, they're terrible, they're the enemy, but if they're good and you're good, then it makes the Rocky Mountain Showdown or whatever new name, whatever we're going to give this thing, it makes it that much better. I remember 4 or 5 years ago seeing, you know, was it Barstool or some national publication saying the who cares game or whatever. And it really bothered me. And if you can get both teams with juice, and Jay Norvell has that, Deion Sanders certainly has that, then I think that this game could really help to start growing football in Colorado. And who knows, maybe this isn't just a Broncos state anymore. We're talking about it being a college football state.
Yeah, you're a few decades away of both CU and CSU being good and playing on an annual basis, and that game driving huge numbers.
Sure.
And it not being dominated by one side or the other, for that to start, well, it won't start, but to really elevate tremendously the high school game in the state of Colorado and the interest of college football in the state of Colorado. The Broncos have a huge stronghold on this state and even this region. You can take that out to Nebraska. You can take that out to, you know, Wyoming, parts, you know, Utah, right? I mean, this is a Bronco region. So both programs need to be good for a sustainable amount of time for that really to start, you know, feeding into the collegiate level. That being said, I still find it interesting. I mean, you look at it, CU and CSU are still basically battling Nebraska for the fan base. I mean, George came out and said, one of the first things he said was, okay, our first home game is against Nebraska. I don't want to see any red. Don't sell your tickets. And what was the first thing you saw on social media? Nebraska fans flooding it with pictures of Folsom Field and it looking entirely red.
Mm.
They have that kind of sway still, especially on the western or the eastern side of the state of Colorado. It's still a Husker stronghold, despite the struggles that program's had. So, CU and CSU are still battling Nebraska for the fan base.
Yeah, no question about it. It's just so interesting, all this stuff with Deion, with the transfer portal being this way. I mean, it's just crazy at this stage. But we'll see what ultimately what this does to college sports and as we progress through the next few years. Mike Brohar joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, a heck of a battle on Saturday between UNC and CSU. Heck of a battle before that, earlier in the week, between UNC and CSU. Now the Rams looking to see if they can take down the Buffs on Thursday. And the Buffs are an interesting team. I don't think anybody has them figured out at this point.
No, I mean, I don't even know if Tad Boyle has them figured out at this point.
Yeah.
They've shown up in some big games, and they've decided not to show up in some games. And, you know, CSU's lamenting the fact that they did not play well defensively against UNC. Both teams are, really, the men and the women. They just did not put in the defensive effort that they needed. You go back to the start. I mean, it's a three-point game at halftime, and CSU's not playing great defense. But if they come out and play some defense, you know, you figure they're in it. Well, then UNC comes out and hits their first seven threes, and not all of them were easy, and some of them were kind of deep. And all of a sudden, that three-point lead's 15 points. And now all of a sudden, CSU's playing catch-up the rest of the game. And for, I would say, I don't know, about an 8-10 minute stretch, they played defense the way they should have, got back in the game, actually got the lead. But, you know, Kuntz had, I thought it was interesting down the stretch when the game was being decided. I thought Jalen Lake played him pretty well defensively. Kuntz hit a couple really tough shots, one of them an end one, and that kind of created the separation. So, you know, credit to UNC for really hitting the plays that they needed to when they needed to. But it's a learning experience for Colorado State. They've got to be on defensively and have that defense translate into offense for them to be really as successful the way they want to be this year.
Yeah, and in that game, too, I mean, I actually sat next to Jerry Schimmel. I was doing some color for that game, Mike, if you can believe that Jerry let me get on with him. And we looked at each other, and I said, this feels exactly like last year. You know, UNC was up, it was a shock, yeah. But here comes Isaiah Stevens doing his thing. And, I mean, he was in the zone. He had some amazing takes to the rim. But ultimately, yeah, the Bears hit their free throws. But, Mike, you look at it and say, okay, Isaiah just got back. You know, the LMU game was nice. And then to see what he did against UNC at the end, you got to think that Isaiah Stevens, though, every single game is just going to get a little more comfortable in that with that foot and feel a little bit better, and he's going to really start taking over.
He is. And you can't deny that that's going to happen. I mean, he's one of the top point guards in the country, and the more that he gets acclimated to playing with this team the way it is, and he did. I just talked to him, and just I think a story just came out. He took his time when he was seven games on the bench watching what his teammates were doing, watching that what John Tonje had done to elevate his game, watching what Isaiah Rivera had done to elevate his game, watching what a Patrick Cartier brings to the floor. Mm. And his only thought is, I don't have to do that. I just have to make their life easier. So that's what he's watching as the point guard, and he is. He's going on the court to learn that even more, what he can do to make their life easier, to get them better shots, to get Jalen Lake open on the outside and get his stroke going. So, yeah, those things are going to happen, I think, over the course of the next couple weeks, and that's what they want. They want to be at their peak when they go into the Mountain West Conference, and they want to go ahead and be at their best at that point and have things going. And I think that this his return when he came back gives them ample time to get that I guess polish that feel going on that roster.
Well, I'm looking forward to that game on Thursday, Mike. Always appreciate you, you know, bringing in some you know, some sunshine to the program, some positivity once in a while. We need it, my man.
Well, yeah, I feel bad for your listeners at times because it just seems like it's negative news all the time.
There's some positive stuff. I mean, there's certainly some positive
things. Hey, UNC's got a new football coach,
right? UNC's got a new football coach, Ed Lamb. And yep. It's the Ed McCaffrey thing was a splash. It was a nice marketing thing. It got some publicity. I think the Bears really needed to make sure they made the sound football decision. And on paper, it looks like that's the sound football decision.
They got a head coach that's been a special teams coordinator. Oh. So you know that part of the game will not be ignored.
Special teams is a big deal, Mike. You should know that. You should know that very well. Special teams is a big deal.
I think people around Colorado State understand the importance of special teams play and a devotion to making it good.
Yeah, like maybe putting someone in charge of it. You know what I mean? It's just it's an amazing, it's a wild concept. But
it's just like the Wild West here now.
No, it really is. It really is, my friend. Well, it'll be a Wild West or whatever with this transfer portal. We'll continue to monitor it and see what it looks like. A lot of numbers, though. My goodness. Mike, always appreciate you, man, what you do for Colorado State, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Angel, I don't think I'm that negative. I just think when I bring Mike on, there's negatives to talk about. It's not like the football team won a lot of games, so I brought up the negatives of those losses, right? And then CSU basketball, they've been pretty positive for the most part. That's not a bad loss to UNC. That's not a bad loss.
It's hard to say.
I mean, they're going to view that as a bad loss.
I've seen some CSU reaction.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
they're
pissed. I cannot believe we lost that game.
But they don't follow the Bears like you and I do. We know that's a good basketball team. On their best night, UNC can beat some good teams. They're not going to beat Houston and Baylor, but on their best nights, I could see them knock off a 25 team. Maybe on their best night.
Sure.
They score 88 points in a game. Yeah, they could do that.
I think they're only getting better, too.
I do. I think they are getting better. All right, we'll take a quick break. 12:39 the time. Let's talk about the Denver Nuggets. Are we concerned? Are we looking at a panic button? Are we looking at it, kind of? We're glancing? Are we thinking about it, Angel? We'll talk about it next. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
You asked me something during the break, Angel, about CSU. You know, because there's a lot of Rams fans right now that are not, they're not really thrilled with the primetime hire for CU. And again, if this goes as well as Colorado thinks it's going to go and fans think it's going to go, you ask the question, is Colorado State worried about being able to catch up? Because right now they're both bad programs. They were both literally the worst teams in college football at one point this season.
I'm imagining a race, and CSU's got a little bit of a head start, but their opponent, CU, has longer strides.
Yeah.
And they will catch up and pass you very quickly.
Jay Norvell's, what we believe is going to happen with him, is kind of like the steady progression of a good football coach. You know, first season, it's not going to go that well. There's going to be ugly stuff. But once you start to get guys that make sense for what you're doing, then it's going to get better. And that's kind of what we've all been used to over the years. But is that about to change? Is the day and age of the not slow necessarily, because let's face it, if Jay Norvell doesn't get it right next year, he's on the hot seat suddenly. And so is Joe Parker. But if you know, what we typically see is 2 to 3 years, you get time to build. CU is literally saying, from a one-win team that couldn't cover a 30-point spread this year on several occasions, they expect to be in they are seriously saying this, dude. They expect to be in the playoff conversation. That means beating TCU. First game out of the gates.
I mean,
dominating Nebraska.
Beating TCU, dominating Nebraska, beating CSU, your in-state rival, and then one loss in Pac-12 play, put them in the conversation of playoff. Obviously, when it goes to 12 teams, you'll have more opportunities to get up there outside of winning your conference, but they're expecting to compete immediately.
And that's, and if this works, let's say it works. Let's say they're let's just say they're top 25. That's going to change a lot of what we do here. The patience is going to go, well, we need a guy with a charismatic personality and a college football background. You're going to be looking for those kind of guys, and you're going to be looking for overnight fixes. CSU needs to just put their blinders on right now and stay focused on what they're doing, because they're not going to catch whatever it is that's happening in CU, good or bad. Whether this works out or doesn't, CSU's not built like that. They didn't hire Deion Sanders. They hired Jay Norvell, who's a very good coach, who did it at Nevada, and is proven. He's got that. He's proven at this level at college sports. But again, we're talking about attracting big-time recruits. And that name and image and likeness is going to be used to the max with Deion Sanders. You're going to get the players. You are going to get stud players here next year.
I'll be very interested to see how he does in state. I feel that CSU maybe leans a little bit more to getting the ingrown local talent.
Yeah, it might actually benefit them.
And it could benefit them. You might get those guys. And I will add UNC here. Whatever guys don't make it at CU or CSU, go to UNC. If you want to stay in state and play Division I football, you have an opportunity if it's not with Coach Sanders or Coach Norvell.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I don't know. Maybe Sanders changes it, but he flat out said it yesterday talking to his players that, I'm bringing dogs with me. They're already coming. Well, they're not from Colorado. They're guys that were playing for you or that already committed to you or whatever, and they're coming over here. So does that open up an opportunity for CSU to grab? You know, again, there's what? Odds are every year there's a handful of really good high school football players out of the state. Well, the handful might end up going all to CSU, and that's good for fanfare. And if they're good, then that's even better.
Maybe that also amplifies the talent of high school players here. They say, hey, I could get an opportunity to go play for Coach Sanders at CU. I'm going to work my tail off to get a 5-star or a 4th-star.
I think the Deion Sanders thing, while extremely fascinating, and you know, I'm cautious too, but right now it's putting this beacon up in the air of, hey, Colorado's interesting right now. The state's interesting. How does that impact a lot of things going forward? Well, time will tell. 12:49, the time. Let's take a quick break. We will get into Michael Malone and the Denver Nuggets. That was a rough go over the weekend for them. They have the Mavericks coming to town tonight. And what is Michael Malone going to do about that defense and Bones Highland and all? And Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray was terrible in that last game. He looked awful. Probably his worst game of the season so far. So we'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
.12:54 the time. Angel, the news you just gave me during the break, it just hit me wrong and I laughed.
Really?
Yeah, what is it?
So the Broncos' Christmas Day game against the Los Angeles Rams will be simulcast on CBS and Nickelodeon, filled with snow, slime, and plenty of SpongeBob.
Gotta do something to get people excited about that one.
Well, I'm wondering, because they do like the end zone slime celebrations, they're not going to be able to do it because there's no touchdown.
Why would you put that game on Nickelodeon? Poor children?
That's child abuse.
They can't watch the slime stuff happen.
I'm saying, you know, kids, don't watch TV for too long. Definitely don't watch it on Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
Or just open your presents and don't worry about the Broncos.
I might watch it on there just to make something.
You might get a kick out of it.
Well, it might be lively.
Your son might like it.
He might love it.
Made for him.
This Sunday, just another 11 o'clock game where by 12:30, I'm already, like, really mad. And the Broncos were winning at 12:30, but I'm still knowing what's going to happen, scoring field goals and all that stuff. Dude, the Broncos are so irrelevant right now, Angel. I did a poll yesterday, and again, it went the other way. Are the Colorado Buffaloes the most popular team in the state right now? And it's, like, 60, you know, maybe 60-40 or something like that, saying no. Obviously, they still believe it's the Broncos. But the fact that like 40% are willing to say, yeah, they are. They're more popular than the Broncos. I don't have that many Buffs followers, to be
Tuesday,
honest.
It's Tuesday, and we don't have a weird Broncos story just yet.
Yeah, we don't. What's going on with that? I guess it was weird
it's
enough.
It's all Deion right now. He took all of the publicity from the Broncos, which maybe it helps them.
I guess Hackett like said something about, you know, congratulations to Deion Sanders and he's going to be great and all that stuff. That has to be kind of depressing in the back of your head, knowing congratulations, I'm out the door.
You might need to start relations in case he needs a backup water boy or something.
Yeah, maybe go to see you and work. No, I don't think Sanders would want him.
Yeah, Ralphie needs another, you know, cleaner upper.
Does Hackett just go right back to Green Bay? Do you think so?
I think Green Bay's about to implode, so.
They might need him back. Maybe he was the guy. They needed the positive guy. It's not working here, though. All right, third and final hour coming up next. We'll talk Broncos. We'll talk Nuggets. Ed Lamb, the new UNC football coach. Got it. Nailed it. Just destroyed it today. And we're excited about it, I think. Or are we just kind of like, it's a good move. It's a sound move. We'll talk about it next. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.